Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from various news sources here on OWL Radio. Starting today from MarketWatch, U.S. stocks lower, NASDAQ heads for third straight losing session with recession fears back in focus. NASDAQ sinks 1.3% after scoring best quarter since 2020. U.S. stocks traded mostly lower in the final hour of trade on Wednesday, with the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite on pace to book three consecutive losses, as investors weighed data on private sector employment and the services sector while awaiting a March jobs report that will be released on Good Friday, a market holiday. How are stock indexes trading? The Dow Jones Industrial Average, DJIA, added 61 points, or 0.2%, to 33,465. The S&P 500 SPX dipped 17 points, or 0.4%, to 4,083. The NASDAQ Composite, COMP, dropped 157 points, or 1.3%, to 11,968. On Tuesday, the Dow and S&P 500 snapped four-day winning streaks, while the NASDAQ Composite dropped 0.5%. What's driving markets? The rally in U.S. stocks of the past 2 weeks has stalled for now, as investors ponder whether to be pleased that weaker economic data of late has trimmed bond yields, or to be wary of the business downturn these trends foretell. ADP said private sector employers added 145,000 jobs in March, well below the 210,000 expected by economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. Meanwhile, the Institute for Supply Management Service Sector Activity Index, a bellwether of business conditions at U.S. companies, fell to a three-month low of 51.2% in March and signaled slacking growth as strains mount on the economy. Numbers above 50% indicate companies are expanding, but the latest survey suggests growth has taken a sharp turn for the worse. The recent comments from purchasing managers implies a weakening outlook for both businesses and consumers, says Jeffrey Roach, chief economist for LPL Financial. As the economy slows and inflation decelerates, the Fed will be in a better position to pause the current rate hiking campaign. As the economy recalibrates, investors should expect market volatility to dampen from there. We are starting to see growing evidence that the U.S. economy is heading towards a recession, said Edward Moya, analyst at OANDA. There's a risk that the Financial Reserve might have over-tightened its monetary policy, with growing evidence that points to a potential recession, while the banking crisis is not over, noted Moya. There are a lot of risks on the table. The two-year Treasury yield, TMUBMUSDO2Y, which is particularly sensitive to monetary policy expectations, fell to 3.747% on Wednesday, the lowest intraday level in almost 2 weeks. The yield on the two-year U.S. Treasury note topped 5% and rose to its highest level since 2007 in early March. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite is on pace to book three consecutive days of losses, after scoring the best quarter since 2020 last Friday. Growth and tech stocks have powered robust gains on Wall Street in the first quarter of 2023, with big tech shares gaining safe haven status for investors fearing a potential recession and volatility in the banking sector. However, investors started to shift away from tech sector amid signs that the U.S. economy is weakening. The extent to which the Federal Reserve's year-long campaign to raise interest rates to combat inflation has impacted the economy may be becoming clearer in future days. The March jobs report will take center stage later this week when U.S. stock exchanges are closed for the Good Friday holiday. The March jobs report is expected to show 238,000 non-farm payroll jobs were added to the U.S. economy last month, while the unemployment rate is set to hold steady at 3.6%, according to economists polled by Dow Jones. In February, the U.S. economy created a robust 311,000 new jobs, keeping the pressure on the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates even further to tame high inflation. Companies in focus. FedEx Corporation, FTX said Wednesday it would boost its dividend by 10% and plans to consolidate its operating companies into a single organization. Shares rose 1.4%. AMC Entertainment Holdings Incorporated. AMC stock rose 2.2% Wednesday after ending Tuesday's session down 23.5%. In a filing Monday, AMC announced settlement terms related to shareholder litigation over a proposed stock conversion. The settlement opens the way for the conversion of AMC Preferred Equity Units, or APEs, into common stock, alongside a 10-to-1 reverse stock split and the capacity to sell more shares. Shares of C3.ai Incorporated. AI dropped 17.5% after a short seller on Tuesday publicly accused the software company of accounting and disclosure irregularities. Liminal Biosciences Incorporated. LMNL stock soared over 80.1% Wednesday after the company said it received an unsolicited takeover offer of $7.50 a share from Structured Alpha LP. That company already owns 64% of the outstanding stock and is now bidding for the rest. Shares of 3D printing company Stratus Ltd. SSYS dipped 0.3% Wednesday after Nano Dimension Ltd., NNDM, said it was prepared to begin a special tender offering targeting at least 51% ownership of Stratus's stock for $18 a share. This next article is titled, J.P. Morgan CEO Warns Banking Crisis Isn't Over. 5 Steps to Prepare Now. As if the banking crisis, recently caused by the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank last month, wasn't alarming enough, now one financial insider is revealing the downfall isn't over yet. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon shared as much in a letter to the bank's shareholders earlier this week. The current crisis is not yet over, and even when it is behind us, there will be repercussions from it for years to come. Dimon divulged, as reported by Reuters. Because of recent banking developments, as well as the unstable economy, Dimon also believes the odds of a recession have increased. He softened that perspective with the thought that any upcoming economic windfall won't have the same effects as the 2008 financial crisis. However, he indicated that it will greatly impact the banking industry. As he wrote in the letter, the current environment will clearly cause some tightening of financial conditions as banks and other lenders become more conservative. Dimon's perspectives also take on greater weight considering the dire April 5th jobs report, one that came in far below expectations. Per CNBC, private sector jobs rose only by 145,000 in March, which is far below projected estimates for 210,000 jobs and down significantly from 261,000 jobs reported in February. As the news outlet suggests, the numbers show another potential sign that U.S. economic growth is headed for a sharp slowdown or recession. Though experts warn there's no cause for panic at the banks, finance guru Susie Orman hosted a webinar last week echoing the general consensus that your money is safe in banks and withdrawing will only accelerate problems. There are still some things you can do now to prepare for fiscal turmoil ahead. First, build up your emergency savings fund now. Orman reiterated that having a financial safety net is more important than ever, given signs of a recession. Ideally, you'd want 6 months of savings set aside, but whatever you can allocate is better than nothing. You might consider depositing your tax refund, getting a side gig, and cutting out any unnecessary costs. Keep your investments where they are. If you're not nearing retirement anytime soon, it's best to keep your retirement savings, portfolio, and other stock market investments intact for the time being. While the markets may fluctuate and hit a new low point in the future, long-term strategies are still the best when it comes to the market, so plan to ride out the waves. However, if you are retiring in the next decade, Orman suggested removing money from the market and investing in dividend-paying stocks instead. There may not be enough time to allow your money to rebound if held in traditional market investments. Plan to buy more stocks. Yes, buy more. When the market takes a hit, it's actually the best time to invest in more shares at a cheap cost. The market will likely rebound if history is any indication. Roll over to a Roth IRA if you don't have one yet. CNBC pointed out that this is ideal because of how taxes are applied. Before you retire, you'll pay taxes on the contributions, but withdrawals during retirement will be tax-free. Rolling over to a pre-taxed Roth IRA will cost 20% less if your retirement account is down 20%, CFP Clark Kendall told the news outlet. Reassess your spending habits and tax burdens. Of course, a recession will make anyone want to tighten their purse strings. See where you can make sacrifices. Maybe it's cutting Netflix, Apple Music, and other subscription services, or walking, biking more to save on fuel costs. Make an itemized list of all of your expenses, your average costs, and where you can make cuts. The other item you'll want to look at is any tax advantages you can tap into during a recession, especially if you're doing number 2 and 3 above, which could offer perks when it comes to tax bills. Using tax-advantaged accounts and tax deductions will help you reduce your overall tax liability and accumulate more wealth, claimed Harvard Business Review. This article is from Fortune. Gen Z is blowing past other generations with 401ks and retirement savings. Gen Z is facing its fair share of financial issues, but it's also putting past generations to shame when it comes to getting a jump on retirement savings. Workers aged 18 to 24 in 2021 were 32% more likely to invest in their workplace retirement plan than their older colleagues were at their age, according to a new report by Vanguard that looks at generational changes in 401k behaviors. Vanguard analyzed the contribution rates of 219 401k programs offered by the same employer since 2006, comparing workers to previous generations at the same age. Younger generations usually have a lower participation rate than older generations. They don't necessarily have the same knowledge about their retirement savings options, and they typically have less money to save. Still, Generation Z's participation rate in 2021 was more than twice as high as similarly aged employees in 2006. 62% of 18 to 24-year-olds were contributing in 2021, compared to 30% in 2006. Automatic enrollment in a 401k plan was a major reason why, according to the report. In 2006, only about 11% of employers in the study offered automatic enrollment. By the end of 2021, half the plans did. That led to a major increase in the 401k participation rate from 62% in 2006 to 82% in 2021. But among plans offering automatic enrollment, participation soared to 94% in 2021. Often, the biggest hurdle to saving for retirement is just getting started. Many people are held back by believing they don't have the proper knowledge required to invest. But automatic enrollment bypasses that lack of confidence. And thanks to recent legislation, automatic enrollment could become even more common in the years to come. Another big change over the past 15 years. Employers in every generation are saving a lot more, per the report. Savers were deferring an average of 7.2% of their paychecks into their 401ks in 2006. That increased to 7.7% in 2021. Overall, the median account balance across generations tripled from $9,680 to $29,762. Knowledge of the benefits of saving early can also partially explain the increase. Baby boomers were the first generation to have access to a defined contribution plan like a 401k for a meaningful portion of their working lives, the report notes. As years passed, more and more people learned about the benefits. The benefits of investing early. All of this is good news, according to financial professionals. Start early is a maxim of the personal finance advice. It is one of the best ways to build a substantial retirement fund. That's because the more time funds are invested in the stock market, and a 401k is an investment account, the more time they have to grow and compound. And workers will want to put those years of compounding to their advantage. According to some financial planners, many workers will need more than $1 million to retire comfortably thanks to inflation. That number will only increase in the coming decades as Gen Z gets older. That said, you don't need to contribute much to get started. Saving for retirement is a marathon, not a sprint. Though the average deferral rate across generations was 7.7% in 2021, Gen Z's was 4.7%. Even if you can only afford to contribute less than that, say 1 or 2%, at least you're getting started. Still, most experts advise at least up to the full employer match to maximize your benefits. In addition to growing your net worth, traditional 401k contributions also lower your taxable income. You invest money, up to $22,500 in 2023 for those under 50, before it is taxed by the government, and it grows tax-deferred until it's withdrawn in retirement. Of course, Vanguard's report only represents those with access to a 401k plan. Many workers aren't offered one. But there are still ways to invest for retirement. Many financial experts recommend using a Roth IRA when you're young. With these accounts, you contribute money that has already been taxed, and then when you make a qualified distribution in retirement, it's tax-free. The contribution limit for these accounts in 2023 is $6,500 for those under 50. On NPR News, this next article is titled, Applications for Jobless Aid Rising, but Still at Low Levels. The number of Americans seeking unemployment aid was higher over the past few months than the government had initially reported, reflecting a modest rise in layoffs as the economy has slowed in the face of higher interest rates. The Labor Department reported Thursday that the number of applications has exceeded 200,000 since early February, above previous estimates, though still relatively low by historical standards. The department has revised its estimates of the number of weekly applications for jobless benefits under a new formula it is using to reflect seasonal adjustments. The new formula is intended to more accurately capture seasonal patterns in job losses. For the week that ended April 1st, the number of Americans applying for jobless aid was 228,000, the government estimated. That was down from 246,000 in the previous week and 247,000 in the week before that. Using its new seasonal adjustment formula, the government revised up each of these figures by nearly 50,000. The trend in seasonally adjusted initial claims is noticeably higher than previously estimated, which does suggest that the flurry of layoff announcements so far this year has begun to show up in this data. Stephen Stanley, chief U.S. economist of Santander U.S. Capital Markets, wrote in a research note, "First-time applications for unemployment benefits serve as a proxy for the number of job cuts because most people who are laid off file for jobless aid. About 1.82 million people were receiving jobless aid in the week that ended March 25th, an increase of 6,000 from the week before. The job market appears to finally be showing some signs of softening, more than a year after the Federal Reserve began an aggressive campaign to cool inflation by steadily raising its benchmark borrowing rate. On Tuesday, the Labor Department reported that U.S. job openings slipped to 9.9 million in February, the fewest since May 2021. And on Wednesday, the payroll firm ADP reported that the nation's private employers added 145,000 jobs in March, down sharply from 261,000 in February. Pay raises also weakened for workers, according to the ADP Research Institute. ADP's figures often diverge from month to month from the government's more comprehensive jobs report, which provides a more granular review of the labor market, though the two tend to converge over time. On Friday, when the government issues the March jobs report, analysts expect it to show that employers added a solid 240,000 jobs last month. In February, the government reported, employers added a robust 311,000 jobs, fewer than January's huge gain, but enough to keep pressure on the Fed to keep raising rates to fight inflation. The unemployment rate rose to 3.6% from a 53-year low of 3.4%. In its latest quarterly projections, the Fed predicts that the unemployment rate will rise to 4.5% by the year's end, a sizable increase historically associated with recessions. Layoffs have been mounting in the technology sector, where many companies hired aggressively during the pandemic. IBM, Microsoft, Salesforce, Twitter, and DoorDash have all announced layoffs in recent months. Amazon and Facebook have each announced two sets of job cuts since November. Also from NPR News, off the charts, slim pickings for buyers amid new record low homes for sale. Americans eager to buy a home this spring, beware, it's slim pickings out there. The number of U.S. homes on the market is at near historic lows, which could dim would-be buyers' prospects for finding a house or condo and fuel competition for the most affordable properties, economists say. As of the end of February, just as the spring home buying season got underway, some 980,000 homes were on the market nationally, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's an increase of 15.3% from February last year, when the number of homes for sale sank to an all-time low. February's tally of homes for sale translates into a 2.6-month supply at the current sales pace, according to NAR. In a more balanced market between buyers and sellers, there is a 5 to 6 month supply. While homebuyers will have more properties to choose from now than last spring, the low supply and sharply higher mortgage rates sets the stage for a higher overall price tag for homeownership. Buyers are facing a tough market, both in terms of inventory availability and in terms of how that matches up to affordability, says Hannah Jones, an economist data analyst at Realtor.com. A big reason is there's more homes for sale than a year ago. Properties are taking, on average, nearly twice as long to sell. New listings, meanwhile, were down about 16% in February from a year earlier, according to Realtor.com data. Homebuyers have had to contend with a shrinking pool of homes for sale for much of the last decade, partly due to underbuilding of new homes since the mid-2000s housing crash, and years of ultra-low mortgage rates, which give homeowners less incentive to sell after years of soaring home prices. Homeowners aren't giving up their current house and low monthly payments to join a tight, expensive market, said Skylar Olson, chief economist for Zillow. The last year that the monthly tally of homes on the market averaged more than 2 million was 2015, according to NAR data. That steadily declined, reaching 995,833 last year. Despite the thin inventory of home listings, sales of previously occupied U.S. homes surged 14.5% last month as homebuyers seized on a modest drop in mortgage rates. Sales were down 22.6% from a year earlier, when mortgage rates were, on average, more than 2 percentage points lower. Also from NPR News, IMF head expects less than 3% global economic growth in 2023. The International Monetary Fund chief said Thursday the world economy is expected to grow less than 3% this year, down from 3.4% last year, increasing the risk of hunger and poverty globally. Kristalina Georgieva said the period of slower economic activity will be prolonged, with the next 5 years of growth remaining around 3%, calling it our lowest medium-term growth forecast since 1990, and well below the average of 3.8% from the past two decades. Georgieva says slower growth would be a severe blow, making it even harder for low-income nations to catch up. Poverty and hunger could further increase, a dangerous trend that was started by the COVID crisis, she said. Georgieva's comments at a Politico event at the Meridian International Center come ahead of next week's spring meetings of the IMF and its sister lending agency, the World Bank, in Washington, where policymakers will convene to discuss the global economy's most pressing issues. The annual gathering will take place as central banks around the world continue to raise interest rates to tame persistent inflation, and as an ongoing debt crisis in emerging economies pushes debt burdens higher, preventing nations from developing. Roughly 15% of low-income countries are already in debt distress, and another 45% face high debt vulnerabilities, according to the IMF. Georgieva said high interest rates, a series of bank failures in the U.S. and Europe, and deepening geopolitical divisions are threatening global financial stability. Given the economic projections, non-governmental organizations are calling for the IMF to allocate more funds to low-income countries through special drawing rights, which are an IMF international reserve asset that can be exchanged for hard currency. More than 50 NGOs, labor unions, and civil organizations sent a letter to the U.S. Treasury Department and the White House on Thursday, calling for the U.S. representative at the IMF to support a new allocation of special drawing rights for use by low-income countries. Center for Economic and Policy Research co-director Mark Weisbrot said the funds could be used for food and medicine and to help countries avoid destructive economic crises. President Joe Biden's budget proposal requests $2.3 billion for contributions to multilateral developmental banks, including the IMF. Republicans have yet put forth their own budget plan before negotiations start with the Democratic president. Georgieva said that countries have thus far been resilient climbers out of the coronavirus pandemic, which has killed almost 6.9 million people globally, according to the World Health Organization, and has disrupted global supply chains and exacerbated worldwide food insecurity. Based on her report, countries see stark differences in the possibility of recession risks. Asia especially is a bright spot, she said, as India and China are expected to account for half of global growth in 2023. Advanced economies face the challenge of high inflation, as 90% of them are projected to see a decline in their growth rate this year. This all comes as the United States, the European Union, and others are rethinking their trade relationships with China. Tensions with China accelerated after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, with Chinese President Xi Jinping pledging a friendship without limits to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Georgieva warned in her speech, "But the path ahead, and especially the path back to robust growth, is rough and foggy, and the ropes that hold us together may be weaker now than they were just a few years ago. Now is not the time to be complacent," she said. "We are in a more shock-prone world, and we have to be ready for it." And from Kiplinger Magazine, some dates to mark for this month. Tuesday, April 18th. Today marks the official federal tax filing deadline for 2022. It is also the deadline for many state tax returns. If you haven't filed your return, you can request an extension until October 15th. However, if you owe taxes, filing an extension won't give you more time to pay. If you've already filed your return, hold on to your W-2 forms and any 1099 forms generated from freelance income, unemployment benefits, or investment income, as well as receipts for deductible expenses for at least 4 years. You'll need these documents if you need to file an amended return or if you're audited. Saturday, April 22nd, Earth Day. Sustainable habits are often cost-effective, too. Consider switching to Energy Star appliances to trim utility bills and foregoing single-use plastics in favor of reusables. Donating used clothing or items is another way to reduce waste. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.